Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this morning. We'll give you all a very warm welcome into the service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe next Sunday morning, are you all right, John, for next Sunday morning? I was going to bring John this. I didn't want to put it on him at the last minute, like I sometimes do, but I really was praying for the service, what I would speak on, and the Lord kept just bringing me back to this about the 10 virgins. There's a lot of scriptures and things, and this is a real long message. I'm not going to even attempt to preach it this morning, all of it, because I can't do it, and I couldn't do it tonight either. I don't have many meetings with taking in. I got reading into this about this oil and everything, and the Lord really showed me something as well. But I don't have time to get into it either this morning, I don't think. There's so many avenues open up in the Word of God, but we thank God for the Word of God. But the Lord bless, the year's almost gone, isn't it? The year's almost gone. I was just saying to the wife this morning, we were coming in here this morning, and they're packed into the chapel down the road here. And the so-called Christians, Protestants, are lying in their bed snoring. Lying in the bed sleeping. Sleeping. And the Catholics are at chapel. And we know what they're listening to is false. We know that. We don't need nobody to tell us. We know it's false. It's a daggone religion. It's a false religion. But they're there. And people that should be up and at it are sleeping. And I tell you, that's the way it's going to be when the Lord comes. There's a lot of people's not going that thinks they're going. They're not going to be ready. And I'm not preaching works this morning because it's not works. But there's one thing the Lord shows us plain here. There's five wise and five foolish. And only the wise are going in. And may the Lord help us to be them wise. And as we come into a new year, you know, out near where I'm living, there's a wee church. I don't know what church it is. But there's a few cars there this morning, and then you'll not see any cars there for maybe another month. And they must do a service every so often. They're closing. Churches are closing. And William Branham said in one place, God never revives a system that denominates. He never revives it. It dies. And the Spirit of God moves on. And may the Lord help us not to be people that's dying. But may we live on for the Lord and go forward for God. Amen. I tell you, we need to be up and on it. And, you know, God's prophet said, come into church early. Get prayed up. Read your Bible. Before the meeting starts. But I tell you that, we haven't been doing that for a long time. We used to have years ago when I first started doing the meetings, and Yule's here at the front, we used to have a prayer meeting before the meeting started. And we used to do that almost every service when we were in the schoolhouse. And we made a lot of noise, but I'll tell you, there's no noise now in the background. It's a real quiet. And it's too quiet. Now, I'm not here to tell you Zephyrnum, but I just want to stir you up. I want to stir you up for God. I tell you, the Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. Now, I know a lot of people say that. It's just a word. They don't really mean it. But the Lord is coming. And he's not giving a sign. There's going to be no big thing flashing before he comes to say it'll be 5 minutes. My Bible says he's coming as a thief. Now, I know all about a thief. Because I once was a faith. And that's to my shame that I say that, but I can tell you no lies, that's the truth. I once was a faith. And I chum with other faiths. And Brother Laurie, we moved in the night. When everybody was sleeping, that's when we moved. The police were sleeping, and the ones that were on night duty, they were sleeping as well. And you had no problem at all doing what you wanted to do, for they were all sleeping. And you could do whatever you wanted to do when they were sleeping and you weren't caught, but everybody was sleeping. And the Bible says it. He's come at an hour that think not. They'll be sleeping. But may God awaken us spiritually today. May we be spiritually awakened. Let's stand our feet, and there's a few verses here, but let's stand anyway and read these few verses from Matthew 25. And we saw the other week, our brother brought out where they stood for the reading from the Bible. So we're going to keep that in this assembly if we can. We're going to stand for the reading. Praise God. And the Lord bless you. And I hope you didn't eat too much. But God bless you. I want you to feast this morning. May God give us steak this morning. Praise God. First one of Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know ye not. And then if we go on right up till, I think it's verse 14, 14 and 15. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey. Let's bow our heads this morning. And if you have a need, I want you just to lift your hand up before the Lord. And God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just humbly bow before you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your grace. Lord, you're so patient with us, so merciful to us. Lord, many times we've failed you, we've fallen short, but we thank you for the grace and the mercy of God. Lord, I pray you'll cover us with your blood, sanctify us, fill us afresh with the oil of God this morning. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Pray you'll bless your own people, and I pray you'll revive us in the midst of the years, that you'll awaken us, Lord, that you'll have us, Lord, to be that people that's ready with oil in our lamps and oil to spur. Lord, just bless us this morning, and I pray for the hands raised that you'll meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for the backslidden that you restore them, you renew them, have your way upon them in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, you've already been praying for Eiling. We ask for your mercy, your grace, your touch upon him from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. We do pray for the West family as well. Lord, that you'll strengthen them, comfort them, and touch Davy's dad, and most importantly, that he'll get saved and come to know you as his own Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ's name. Father, have your way with us now, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Just to say that Davy West's dad's not good. The family's been called for and they're waiting on him to go, basically, what I've been told. So just pray for the family. Sorry? Oh, did he? Oh, that's good. Oh, that's brilliant. That's good, because I knew there was a minister. Was to go and see him. I had messaged Davy, did your dad have a minister? Do you want me to come out? And he said, no, he had a wee minister. It's been going a few times. So that's good, isn't it? that he has said the sinner's prayer. That's the main thing. That's great news. God bless, sister. That is good news, I tell you. That's the best news. That's what it's all about, salvation. This parable here of the wise and the foolish virgins, we know that this parable is found in Matthew's Gospel. And then there's the parable of the king's son, and it's in Matthew 22, verse 1 to 14. And let me just read you the parable of the king's son. And Jesus answered and spake, Matthew 22, 1 to 14. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again the parable, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them. And as you read through this, I'm not going to read all of it for the way of time, but the guests that were called to this wedding didn't come. They never came. They were given an invitation and they never took the invitation. They didn't come. And he sent them out again and basically get whoever you can and bring them. And if you pick up here in verse 11, and when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now we know both these parables are to do with a marriage. And the Bible talks about a marriage. Now I know that a lot of end time churches and all, they're married all already. They've had the marriage, they've had the honeymoon, and some of them's even in the millennium. Well, I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I believe we're waiting on the coming of the Lord, and we're going to go to a marriage feast, and we're going to have 3.5 years, and we're going to come back, and then after that, we're going to have the millennium. That's the way I believe it. But some people have jumped the gun, and all's done and dusted in the mind of God. We know that, but it's not done and dusted with us. God still needs to work on us. I'll tell you that right now. And we know that. Every one of us know that. In this parable of the marriage of the bridegroom and his bride, the wedding is an Eastern. It's not a Western one. It's an Eastern one here in the Bible. And general custom in an Eastern wedding is that the bridegroom is attended by the friends and the children of the bridegroom. Matthew 9, verse 15 tells us that. And Jesus saith unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? And I'm just reading these scriptures to show you what I'm saying, that it's scripture. And the bridegroom goes to the home of the bride, and with gladness brings the bride till his home. The bride is accompanied from her father's house till her with the young companion. Psalms 45, verse 14 and 15, she shall be brought unto the king. In raiment of needlework, the virgins or companions that follow her are brought unto thee with gladness, rejoicing, and that's how it goes into the king's palace. Now, while others, the virgins, the bridesmaids of the parable, meet the procession at some convenient place and enter with a bridal company into the hall of feasting, and most of the marriages in East took place at night time. And the virgin bridesmaids accompanied the bride with their torches or their lamps at night time. So they're going to the marriage, it's night time, and they've got their lamps with them. And you know this is why the Bible talks about the lamps and talks about night time. And it's at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, it's when we're not working, but we're finishing the work. It's night time. And night time's for sleeping in. Night time comes. And they're going at night time. And we're at night time spiritually. In God's time clock. It's night time. It's almost the end of the day. And we need the lamps. And here they needed these lamps. And these lamps are no use. You'll never lamp. You can have a lamp. But the lamp's no use to you in essence. A lit lamp. And you need the lamp lit. There's a lot of lamps, but they're not lit. I'll tell you that now. And there's a lot of people talk about lamps, but they're not lit. And you'd never know the word lamp Some of them say they're lost, but you'd never know it. Like the fella I tell you about, every time you look at him, there's a face on him like a lurking spade. And you'd never ever know he was saved. And he never would testify saved. And if you're with him, you'd never know nothing about it. But when he went to a football match, he had a smile on his face, like a plate of chips, as I say over here. And he was fit to rejoice at the green white armour. Northern Ireland, if you don't know, is the green white armour. Hey, look, I would have rejoiced along with him, but I would have rejoiced as well at church. That's the difference. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of lamps like that, isn't there? But may God help us to have our lamp lit. Don't be afraid to have your lamp lit. Amidst much rejoice in the moral of this parable, there's no mistake in the major moral of this parable. Jesus himself gives a lesson in Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore. Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now I know that people have it all worked out. And we have people today, and they're in the rapture now. They tell us the rapture started and they're in it. They tell us the rapture's a process. And they've been preaching that from the 60s. Well, the rapture that I read about, or the catching up in the Bible, that's not how it works. When God said to Enoch, he was took. I'll tell you what, he wasn't there the next day. He was no years. The next day he wouldn't have found him. And when God took Elijah, they said to him, where's Elijah? Search for him. And there's people went searching for him, but they never found him. And I'll tell you, Elisha come over shortly after Elijah went. The mantle fell, and he took it, and the waters parted. So I don't believe we're in any rapture process. I believe that's a false doctrine made by a man, and it come from a man. Therefore, it's no use to you. If it's not in the Bible, it's no use. Now, I don't care what the quotes I have and what sayings I have. I'm going on the Bible. The Bible's my authority. Nothing else. Because the words of a man can be changed and twisted to suit whoever they want. Watch therefore. For you know neither the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. He's coming in an hour that they won't think. He's coming in a time when they won't think. You know, when Brother Brian Freeborn and Newton won his sight and hear the testimony, I'm not sure what sermon it's under. He told it here as well, where he had the thing about the end time. And he saw the whole thing about the end time. And William Branham appeared to him with a stern look in his face. Because Brian was surprised. And he said to you, I don't know why you're surprised. I told you this is the way it would be. There would be few. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's the way it's going to be. Few. There's few with the lamps trimmed and burning this morning. There's lots of numbers and lots of places. Down the road here is lots of numbers. But how many of them people this morning are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost? Now you say to me there might be one or two. Well, I'll put it to this light, tell you. If they had the Holy Spirit, they'd have to leave there. They would not have the Holy Spirit remain there. Because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit brings you out of the false into the true. And there's a lot of people this morning sitting in places. And I tell you, it's false. But they're still sitting. And why are they sitting? Why are they not coming out? And I tell you, God will have a people and they'll come out to the truth. They'll come out to where the carcass is. That's where the eagles are gathered. Amen. For the fresh meat, for the carcass. They won't sit under a dead hen. They want the truth. Isn't that right? And I tell you, let's be honest this morning, and I'm not getting into this morning. I want to keep what I'm going to preach on. But look, some man saying he's power to turn the wafer into the literal physical body of Jesus Christ. and perform again, re-offer Jesus again, that is false. Amen. And learn people to pray through the Virgin Mary, that is false. And claim he can forgive people's sins, that is false. And pray to the dead, that's the spirit of necromancy. We are forbidden to do that. We are not allowed to pray to the dead. And some of the message groups need to be careful, for they're close to doing it. They're close. They're that close, it's unreal. And I'll tell you what, God won't blink at it. For if he doesn't blink at that, he'll not blink at the other. And there's no such thing as one not as bad as the other. They're both bad. You cannot pray to the dead. We're praying to the living Jesus. Amen. See, there's seven watches. Seven watches. We know there's seven watches, seven church ages. And this is the last one. We're in the last church age. Seven watches. I could have got Matthew to put that up, but he maybe didn't have the lead knife. Told him I mightn't have it tonight. But I had a wee thing drawn out, and you could see it on it. You won't be able to put it up where you see that seven church ages, seven watches. And you see the last one, many fell asleep in each watch or each age. And I want to say this morning, it's not important which age you're in. It's not important. But it is important that you're awake in the age you're in. Now, obviously, we're in the last age. We know that. But there was other good people in other ages which weren't awake, weren't sleeping. They're going to be there. They will be part of the bride. The idea that we're bride and nobody else is bride, whoever preached that or taught that, it's wrong. God has bride in every single church age. Amen. And that's, we're in the last watch, but the last one, it's midnight, so it's not important which watch you're in, but you're ready. Oil in your watch, that you have oil in your watch. And the moral of the parable is that the believers need to be ready, always waiting, watching for the coming of the Lord. In an unknown day, in an unknown hour, the real message coming ready or not. Now let me say it to you again. You know what the real message is? You know what the Lord's message is? I am coming, ready or not. Do you ever play hide and seek? And you say to your wee mates, you shout out. Now I know God's not going to shout us out this, but I'm just saying. You say to your wee mates, I'm coming, ready or not. You're not hid. I'm coming anyhow. Ready or not, I'm coming. And you had him found. Now I believe God will find all that's going to come, like people that's went on. Should they be under concrete in the sea? We know the Bible teaches that. God will bring them out of their his elect. We believe that. But for us that's living and remaining under the coming of the Lord, we need to have oil in our lamps. And we need to have oil to spare. Matthew 24, let's read Matthew 24, verse 42 to 44. What therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now I don't believe either that this Son of Man is a prophet that's on earth now. Let me tell you this. I do not believe that this is a prophet that's on earth now, and that's the Son of Man fulfilling that scripture. I do not believe that. That's false teaching. There's people preaching that. They're wrong. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who the Son of Man is. Amen. Son of Man here in the Bible that we're talking about is the Lord Jesus. Can you say amen to that this morning? Amen. That's the Lord. And the Lord's coming. And we're going to meet him in the air. And Matthew 13, verse 33 to 37. Take ye heed, watch and pray, if ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, give authority to servants and every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, if ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or the morning, lest suddenly coming he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Willie Mullen years ago told the story when he worked at a place. He said that the master of the house was away. And when the master of the house was away, they started to mess about. He was a gardener. And the maids worked in the house. And they threw one of the maids up onto one of the ponies or the donkeys for a laugh. And as they threw her up on and they were messing about, the master tripped down the driveway, unexpected, and they were caught on. Caught on. And Mullen said, when the Lord comes, will you be caught up or caught on? That's what he said. You're caught on or caught up. But I'll tell you something that's serious. I'll tell you, this is something to examine ourselves with, isn't it? How many believe it's good to examine ourselves? The Bible says, and see if we're in the faith or not. Now, we're not preaching saved and lost. We're saved. But all saved are not going in the rapture. Only those who oil and the lamp are going. Get that as a fact. That's the Bible. There's a number no man can number but saved. But there is a group that is the bride of Christ. They have oil in the lamp. Luke 12:37-39, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watch. And verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and this is where I got the word watch from, and find him so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. So the watch can refer to an hourly time, different time, but we know also it can mean the ages. And we're to watch, we're in the last church age, but we're to watch. Luke 21:36, watch therefore. Look how many scriptures there is warning us. Watch therefore, and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things which have come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-8. Now I'm going to take time and read these scriptures. They're important. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Cometh as a thief. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. And we know there's another scripture, doesn't the Lord tell them that he's getting drunk round the Lord's table? And he warns them about it. And there's a thing in the, I'm going to say everywhere today, there's a thing with a lot of Christians today, and it's all right drinking. But so what do you want to get drinking for? You're just like the world. Now, drinking, and I told a brother this, drinking won't unsave you. You could get drunk. I could go to one of these brothers this morning and get full drunk and come here tonight and still be saved. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll guarantee if I went to get into this pulpit, the devil will condemn me, and he'll have a right to it. Because I was wrong to do it. And we're to be sober, for the Lord's coming. And this is a spiritual as well as the physical. We're to be sober for the Lord. Now look at these virgins. Virgin in scriptures represent purity. Those who have kept themselves from immoral defilement, corruption, and the church is likened to a pure, chaste virgin presented to Christ. Isn't that right? A pure, chaste virgin to be presented to Christ. Isaac married the virgin Rebekah, Genesis 24:16-43, you can read it. The high priest had to marry a virgin of his own people. He was forbidden to marry a widow or a divorced woman or a profane person or a harlot. Leviticus 21:14-15. These are the laws in the Old Testament. But spiritualize these things. And I tell you, that's the way it is. Now, we know that Paul decided to present Corinthian believers as a chaste virgin. 2 Corinthians 11 and 2. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, I want to say this morning that there's a lot of places and the church, the fellowships are not espoused to one husband. But they're replacing the husband with another that's not a husband. And their emphasis is no longer on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you take the emphasis off the Lord Jesus Christ and you put it on someone else, I'll tell you that's false. We have one husband. And our husband is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would a woman want to boast about another man more than her husband? Why would she want to love another man more than her husband? She wouldn't. And if she does, time she's divorced. Now you might amen that or like it, but I'll amen it and hallelujah at the same time. That's the Bible truth. And I'll tell you, William Branham talked about the denominations, that he puts them away and he takes himself a word bride. Mrs. Jesus Christ. That's undefiled. And why would we put anything in place of the Lord Jesus? Now you think of it this morning. Your love is for the one, isn't it? Now some of us have lost our first love. But God can, may the Lord give us back our first love for the Lord. That's actually what's wrong with people today. Christians, they've lost their first love. If they fell in love afresh for the Lord, I'll tell you, they'd serve him all their heart. 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Did the wife ever tell you, I'm not really jealous? And then something happens, you soon find out, well, she is jealous. But it's a good thing, she wasn't, there was something wrong. Wouldn't it be? And I know you might say, okay, I'm not jealous of the wife. I'll tell you, it's a wee story. There's Stephen's pastor over in America there, Ron Peterson. Ron Peterson's a character, you know. But Ron Peterson, he said him and the wife said a few things, this and that, and all. He said he's a wee short man. But his wife's quite a tall woman. She's a blonde woman. And they get on a plane somewhere and there's no seat or something happened, and she sat beside this big fella, big tall fella. And Ron, he was telling us, the minister saying he was jealous. And she played him on it because she knew he was jealous. And they had a few words to say to each other beforehand. And he tells the whole story about it. Later on, he wasn't jealous, but he was jealous. He was upset. And I tell you, it's in the truth. But then you think of that. What are we like spiritually? We let people talk about other things and they uplift them. Other men and other things, they uplift them above our Savior. They uplift them above our Lord, and we don't say a thing. Something's wrong. We ought to be jealous for the Lord. We ought to be zealous for the Lord. That we do not want to, no time for any other thing. That nothing can take his place. He saved us, he died for us, he filled us, he healed us. He's our everything. He deserves all our tears, all our joy, everything the Lord does. Some of us, where it was jail or wherever road we're on, he came. None of the rest came. None of the rest were worried, but he came. He was a good shepherd. He left the 99 come for the one that was lost. He loves you this morning. And even when the Lord speaks to us and it's a word of rebuke, it's because he's chastising us. It's because he loves us. Amen. Those who he loves, he chastens and he chastises. Because he loves us. He says that I'm a present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Virgins here speak of the real Christians. They do not represent unbelievers who are defiled by sin. They do not represent non-Christians. Now, I know that a lot of people preach from Matthew. They preach the lost on the the unlost. But I believe it's those that's filled with the Holy Spirit and those that's not. Virgins represent those who are clean by the blood of Jesus and they're walking with the Lamb, without deceit, without fault. An unsaved sinner is never likened to a virgin. Whether wise or foolish, they're all likened to virgins. 10 virgins. So we have 10 virgins here. The number 10 is used symbolically, in a sense. 10 in Scripture is a number of responsibility, accountability. So here, this 10, there's a message in responsibility and there's a message in accountability through the number 10. And we have to have, we have a responsibility as Christians. And we have an accountability as Christians. You know, dear sister, I mention no names. Some of you fellas will know, but that's not important. But just to say, people watch us, what we do. People watch us, how we do things. Now, I'm the same as you. I'm not exempt from it. It's maybe more magnified than me because I'm the pastor. But they'll watch us. If I was to come in late here every Sunday, and you've all seen me coming in late every Sunday, you would say to yourself, here, I'll come in late next week as well. So the pastor's late every week. People watch us what we do. Watch us what we say. Isn't that right? It's the same at work. The exact same at work. People watch us. I thought, hi boy, didn't think you would have said that. Hi boy, didn't think you'd have done that. The world will let you know. But we have a responsibility and accountability. Also, 10 is made up of 2 fives, 10 toes, in the image of Daniel chapter 2. 10 horns, Daniel chapter 7. 10 talents, 10 pounds. Luke 19:13, he called his servants, delivered them 10 pounds, and said, unto them, occupied I come. The number 10, so many times mentioned in the Bible. 10 is also the number of the law and order, as well as a number of test and trial. Exodus 20, Numbers 14:22. These are scriptures. It talks about the 10. For any 10 Jews living in one place, this was counted as a congregation. And we talk about not having enough for a congregation. 10 Jews was counted as enough for a congregation. 10. At the 10, it started an assembly. That's all they needed, 10. The Bible says, for 2 or 3 gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. So we should never have the attitude, there's not many here this morning, so we'll not have a good meeting, we'll not have a good service. The devil wants you to think that. I had a good service when I was just with the Lord. And you should always believe in having a good time when the Lord's involved. Amen. Amen. Never worry about numbers. It's not about the numbers. There's numbers down the road here this morning. But what is them numbers believing? What are them numbers accomplishing? What are they doing? There was numbers here. There was a number 10, but only 5 went in. 10 virgins we're talking about would be held responsible before the bridegroom to watching and waiting. And the lamps burning brightly, believers are pure and chaste virgins before the Lord are responsible for watching for the Lord Jesus to come the second time. And when I talk about the second coming, I'm not talking about the second coming physically where he's on the earth, but we're meeting him in the earth. You know what I mean by when I say that. The coming we are talking about, we're meeting the Lord in the earth. And as Brother John once said, we won't be getting wings and flying up. We're going to be taken. The angels of the Lord is going to come. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. When they look at these lamps, lamps and scriptures used to present the Holy Spirit or the Word of God. And I mentioned this when we did the tabernacle. Exodus 27:20, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive oil beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. Now, can I give you something this morning? I'm going to give you it now. Should have held it tonight, but I can't wait. Now, I was reading in Zechariah and I was thinking about, you know, how many can follow me when I talk about the one bowl and the bowl and the lamp or the oil coming from the bowl? Now, I want you to turn that clean on his head, literally. Turn that on his head for a moment. And if you go to Zechariah chapter 4, and you read in there of the dream, of the vision, and you read through it, that he sees the dream of the vision, and the trees that the oil comes from, the olive trees, came from the top. And the boys to put the oil in came from the top. Everything's from the top, not the bottom. And that's symbolic that our oil is coming from the top. It's coming from the Lord down into this. And then when you read as well in Zechariah, when you read that, you'll read, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. God is showing in the dream, in that vision, it's not by the word program, in a sense, but it's God that does it through spirit. That's why it's so important we have the pure olive oil, the Holy Spirit. And it talks about the pure olive oil, because there's a lot of what's called the Holy Spirit, but it's not. But there's the real pure Holy Spirit, and it's holy. The Holy Spirit won't make you bark like a dog. I know that some people think it will in some places, but it doesn't work like that. It'll glorify the Lord Jesus. It'll bring in the truth. Now, I might mention more of that, but that's just briefly. Exodus 25:37, and thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, and they shall give light over against it. Revelations 4:5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So when we read the seven, it's speaking to us, there's seven church ages, and there's seven spirits of God, and it's light. It's always light. And we have to have oil in the lamp to produce light. And without the oil in the lamp, we can have the lamp. We can have the vessel. But if there's no oil in the vessel, there's no light. But when you put the oil in the vessel, you can have light. And may God help us to have light in our vessels. And I'll tell you, when you've got light, you're lit up. That's where I got the saying from. We're lit up with the gospel. It's a scriptural saying. When the oil comes in, you're lit. Your lamp gets lit. The word of God is likened to the lamplight. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The spirit of man is a candle, literally the lamp of the Lord. Listen to me this morning. The spirit of man is a candle, literally the lamp of the Lord. That's why we need oil in it. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Proverbs 24:20. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. So the Bible refers to us as candles. But we need oil in us to light us. In the context of this parable, the lamp presents the spirit of man. Every lamp needs oil in order to give light. Man's spirit in the fall went into the darkness. It takes the Holy Spirit to come into man to relight him. The new birth relights man. Went into the darkness. But when you get born again, you're born of the Spirit of God. Amen. Your lamp gets lit. And you need to keep it lit. And you know in the tabernacle, they had to burn that continually. They were not allowed to let it go out. Don't let it go out. Burn it continually. And God doesn't want our lights to go out. God wants us to burn continually. Amen. Isn't it true? John 3:1-5, you read in Nicodemus. And verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, many oneness preachers take their scripture out of context, and they refer to water baptism as a spiritual water. That's out of context. How many know without saying the truth? There has been born of the water and the Spirit before you ever go near a pool or a tank. You're born again. The water's no power to do nothing to you. It's an act of obedience. But a lot of people preach you're lost if you're not baptized in water. Now you're saved once you call on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved. Water doesn't save you. Water has no power to regenerate. Only the blood of Jesus does that. But we do believe in water baptism, certainly. But we don't believe there's any power in it. It's an act of obedience. But there's people preach that it's false. Romans 8, 16 to 17, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. So the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if the children then heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So you could say, lamp is man's spirit. The oil in the lamp is the Holy Spirit. And we all have lamps this morning, but we need the Holy Spirit in our lamps. Are you following me? We all need the Holy Spirit. We sing that wee song. We say it's a wee children's Sunday school song. But I differ. I believe it's a song that a church should sing. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. We all need to sing it. We are children. And may we always be children. Amen. May God help us. The bridegroom. There's no mistaking who the bridegroom is here. It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's why we cannot present another man or an organization or a movement in the place of Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ must have his rightful place. He's the head of the church. He also is mentioned in scriptures, the king's son, in the parable. Look at John 3:29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore fulfilled. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with a garment of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. And I tell you, Jesus Christ will have a bride. And we have to believe we're part of that bride. And to be part of it, I don't believe either that when you believe a certain man's doctrine, you become part of the bride. Now show me in the Bible where that comes from. And I'll bring you right back to Matthew 24:25. And I'll show you that you need the Holy Spirit to be part of it. And then we'll go to Ephesians 4. And it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed. To when? Till you get the right doctrine? No. Until the day of redemption. So the seal's the Holy Spirit. And when you get the seal of the Holy Spirit, you're in. You're in. Thank God you're in. Nobody can put you out. You're sealed in. Just like Noah was sealed in. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit does that. There's a lot of people today that put us in and put us out. Wouldn't it? He doesn't say it like we say it. So what? Who cares what way some groups say it? What way does the Bible say it? That's my question. How does the Word of God say it? That's the way we need to say it. Whoever the Word of God says it. Amen. Isaiah 62:5. His young man married the virgin of Renet. In this present time, the bridegroom's away. Look at Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to close in a moment or two. Luke 5:34-35. And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom's with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Then shall they fast in those days. Matthew 9:15. Jesus said, "Only them can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bride is with them, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, then shall they fast." And I tell you, I know people believe the Lord's come again. They believe the Lord's actually come again already. They believe that. Now the problem is with that, when the Lord comes, we're gone. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 says, "We will meet the Lord in the air." And what else does it say? Don't forget the rest of it. I'll give you a time span of 50 years. You don't read that in your Bible. What you read is in your Bible is, "So shall ye ever be with the Lord." Here's what else you read. Comfort one another with these words. Five wise, five foolish. These 10 wise, five wise, five foolish. The book of Proverbs also shows that the wisdom of the wise and the folly of the world, foolishness, Matthew 7. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and the house fell, and great was the fall of it." And I tell you, words, man, man's words are like sand, but God's words are sure. Amen. God's words are sure words. They're sure words. The words of the Lord are sure words. They're true words. The lamp and the oil, we see here the difference in the wise and the foolish. Matthew 24. And I'm going to come to a close and we'll continue on the night. Let me read you this. Then I'm going to come to a close. 10 virgins went out to meet the Lord. All sanctified, all holy, every one of them sanctified. 5 were dilatory and they let their lights go out. 5 had oil in the lamps, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the 5 that had oil in their lamps went into the wedding supper, and the others was left outside. Where they were weeping, wailing, gnashing the teeth, be ready, if you know not the minute the Lord hath comes. What does the oil represent? The Bible, the Holy Spirit. Now, if you today are Seventh-day Adventists, he says, Seventh-day Adventists, if you believe the seal of God's keeping the Sabbath, that's what they believe. But he quotes them from Ephesians 4:30. I believe that it's the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, where you're sealed on the day of redemption. The Holy Ghost, how long is it till you last, till the next revival, till this not? No, until the day of redemption. Now here's someone, and I'm closing this morning, and I know it maybe doesn't affect people here, and I'm not saying that, but there are people listening in, but I'm going to say it. There's a lot of people saying around the end time message movement this morning that they have moved on. They don't believe in Pentecost. They have the word. And they're ready for the rapture. But I want to say this morning, they're going to be found out. No, I'm serious. Because the oil of the Holy Spirit, there's no minister gives you. There's no man, other man gives it. It comes from above. When you read Zechariah, and I believe God showed me it. It's a spiritual dream, a vision from God, Zechariah. And it comes from above. The oil is from above. The stem comes down from God. Then you read, "Not by might nor power, but by my spirit." God does it. And it is God that gives us the Holy Spirit. And I do not believe for one minute that God commissions one particular man. And that one particular man seals everybody. And if you don't hear it that way, you're not sealed. I do not believe that. Now I believe, laying on of hands, you can get the Holy Spirit. We believe that. That's apostolic. That's part of the Bible. But it's God that gives the oil out. You believe that this morning? God gives the oil. But there's going to be an awful lot of people saying, "We've got the truth," but they don't have the oil. Oh, but we have the truth. The oil is that. No. There's the oil. There's a lot of good people that saved, but they've never had the baptism. They've never had the oil coming down on them, filling them with oil. They're lamps. They're lamps. But they need oil in the lamp. And may God help us to boil in our lamps. May he help us to boil in our lamps. And I'm going to tell you another thing. People worry about revelation, and they worry about, why can I not see it? I want to tell you this morning, that's all back to front. When you get the Holy Spirit, my Bible clearly teaches, he leads you into all truth. The Holy Spirit's the one that leads you into truth. And you shall know the truth will make you free. The emphasis should be on the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, I believe the Lord's coming. As I come along the road this morning, one wee building's near empty. Maybe had a wee bit of truth at one time. That's true. Near empty. There's another one that lined the streets. Can't get enough of them in it. And I tell you, the Lord's coming. The whole thing's a mixed bunch. And I'll tell you this, when you get the truth, don't go back on it. Don't compromise the truth for something else. Just to fit in. Stay with the truth. The Lord's coming. Let's stand our feet this morning, praise God. I maybe didn't say it the way I wanted to, or whatever, and I definitely haven't preached well or anything like that, but I just trust the Lord's give you something. And I don't even want to preach this. I tried to preach something else and I couldn't. But I hope the Lord's just helped somebody. Well, every head's bowed, every eye closed. If you want prayer, just slip your hand up again. We're going to pray as we close this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lord, I pray you'll fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. May we be like that wee song says, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Lord, we need oil in our lamp, oil in the vessel. Help us not to be sleeping during the day, but help us to be watching and waiting on the coming of the Lord. Lord, we know that that the rapture's going to take place soon. Israel's in her homeland. There's wars on every side. Everything's happening just the way you said. And you're going to take your people home and turn back to Israel. Send Moses and Elijah down with the seal of God to your people. Lord, I pray you'll help us. Bless every hand that's raised. Meet every need, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll take something from what's been said and bless your people, strengthen them. Let nobody be discouraged, but let them be encouraged. Forgive me, Lord, if I've said anything amiss or out of place. But Lord, help me to preach the truth and stand for the truth and live the truth. Help me to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. Move into my own family and my own children. Save them, I pray, and for other families and children and loved ones represented in this house. Pray you'll move on them and save them, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, help us now, I pray, as we commit it all to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. God bless each one as our brother Jerry comes.
And we'll sing that chorus, he give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning till the break of day.